Well, it's a new intro. It's a new year, but it's still your favorite hockey podcast. It is Hockey the Podcast with me, Derek Alberts. Welcome to 2021. It's a pleasure to have you on board. I hope you had a fantastic festive season and you're starting the new year with a bang. We certainly are. And when I say we, I include my partner in crime, Tyron Jabu Barnard. Tyron, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Derek. What a banging tune to get us going. We decided that for the new year, it was time for a new intro. And what a great one it is. I hope the listeners are enjoying it. And as you've said already, but that I will echo, Happy New Year to everyone. 2021 promises to be a big hockey year. Of course, it also promises to not be a hockey year at all because of what's going on. But we'll err on the side of caution and say it promises to be a big year, and already a lot of stuff has happened.
Yeah, it really has. And I mean, it was a running theme throughout 2020 during our podcasts, where we always spoke about the light at the end of the tunnel with regards to COVID-19. Unfortunately, that light is quickly diminishing. I mean, we all know the second wave that has taken over the planet, particularly in South Africa. So as optimistic as we were towards the end of last year, it's got to be said, it's looking like we're certainly on shaky ground at the moment, which is very, very sad. But the best we can do is make the most of it. And we are stuck at home, unable to do much. We at least can bring you the biggest and best when it comes to the world of hockey. And that's exactly what we're doing. And we plan to do that with episode one of 2021, Ty.
Yeah, absolutely. Before, and you know, what I thought about was, you know, it's a new year, and so let's think about what news has broken. And of course, early on in the year, I mean, we've had the news that Kara Bortus, who was on the show not that long ago, has decided to call time on her outdoor career. So she's basically withdrawn herself from the Olympic qualifying squad. We unfortunately heard about the passing of Fabian Gregory. And of course we have seen that, that some of the, African, continental qualifiers have all had their dates changed. We've seen the new under 21 men's squad placed, but ultimately for 2021, the biggest focus item is the Tokyo Olympics. Now, in chatting to various people, we are very, very sure that the Olympics will go forward. They will probably not have fans. It will probably be empty stadiums, empty facilities, or very, very limited with a lot of COVID protocol. But ultimately, that is the thing we're looking most forward to. And of course, South Africans and in particular South African hockey fans can be excited because the South African hockey men and the South African hockey women are going to the Olympic Games. And I thought, well, what a better place to start with then one of the players who's going to be charged with taking her team over there and leading her team to hopefully what will be a very successful Olympic Games. And that is none other than Erin Hunter, as many of you would know her. But of course, since she last played, I think it was right near the last time she played, she decided to throw away the Hunter, put on the Christie. She is our current outdoor national captain. It's Erin Christie, 59 caps, 3 goals for the country, defensive superstar, and guest number one for 2021. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you so much. Really, really excited to be here and to chat to you guys.
Sorry, my son was just telling me he's hungry, but my one-year-old son. So it doesn't sound like this. It doesn't say, I'm hungry. It says, yeah, I'm not gonna try and mimic it at all. Erin, obviously, a little bit of excitement, a lot of frustration in terms of hockey right now. January is supposed to be a bumper time for the South African team. You had a selection camp that was cut short because of COVID problems or COVID risk. You have a whole bunch of teams that were supposed to come out here and haven't been able to come because of COVID. You know, what is the state or what is your current mental state in terms of hockey?
Yeah, look, obviously there's been a lot of uncertainty and a lot of interruptions to what we would have liked to have taken place in the beginning of the year and the end of last year. But I think that we could spend hours crying, moaning, complaining about it all, but we have to look forward and we have to do the best with what we have and what we can do. So I'm quite excited about the plans that we do have going forward. We are probably not going to get that much in international competition, if any. But that is just a matter of what's going on with COVID-19 and the pandemic. And there's nothing we can control regarding that. So, yeah, so I'm trying to stay positive and trying to look to control what we can control.
And that's a great mindset, control what you can control. Obviously, there's a little bit more clarity with regards to sport, but hockey being a sport that doesn't have as much financing as its big brothers and sisters in the country means that although we could host national teams, we'd have to create a bio bubble. Creating a bio bubble is a very, very expensive thing. And so for that reason, we aren't able to have any teams in the country right now.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge disappointment for us, because I think the best preparation to play international teams is to play international teams. So, yeah, we're very, very disappointed about not being able to get that international competition under our belt. But we know this, the state of South African hockey, and that we are not professional, and we cannot, as the athletes, afford to go into this bio bubble. So, as I said, I mean, we could sit here and complain for the next 40 minutes or so, but there's nothing that we can necessarily do about that. So we have to try and make the best with what we have.
Aaron, good morning. Derek, yeah, it's great to have you on board. I love your attitude. You say, I mean, we could sit here and complain for the next 40 minutes, and we certainly don't want to do that, well, particularly from your side, but I have to ask, I mean, it must be exceptionally disconcerting to have gone through 2020 with all the changes that took place, the scrapping of the Olympics, all the postponements of the Olympics. And, I mean, everyone spoke about 2021 being the big bright future, and we just need to get over the hump that is 2020, and it will be clear as day. And, of course, that hasn't been the case. If anything, it could have potentially got worse. So, from myself and Ty's side, we're in the business world. We can still operate from home most of the time. That's not the case with you. Apart from your regular job, of course, being a professional athlete means that you need to be out and about. You can't be stuck at home. Were there stages where you thought, you know, do I pack it all in, or this is getting ridiculous? Like I said, I think disconcerting would be the most appropriate word.
Yeah, definitely, Derek. I think there definitely are days where I just want to be a toddler and lie on the ground and kick and scream and throw a temper tantrum to express the frustration and, the complete roller coaster that this COVID-19 pandemic has brought to the hockey, to our hockey lives, let alone our normal lives. But as you said, 2021 was supposed to be the light at the end of the tunnel, and well, we've started 2021 halfway through January, and I can just see quite a bit of darkness with regards to hockey. So yeah, there are definitely days where we feel like we need to pack it in and kick and scream. But I think for me personally, and for the rest of the squad, we are trying to stick to the program that we do have. So we're fortunate enough to have a fitness program, and, you know, which tells us what we're supposed to do each and every single day. And, you know, by having that, it gives us something to do at least. And if you stick to that, it's a positive motivation that you are doing something every single day in preparation, not as much as we would like to be doing. We would obviously like to be out on the turf. We would obviously like to be playing international teams, but we are trying to stick to the program that we have, and excited that we'll be able to get back on the turf from next week. And we've got an exciting kind of centralized weekends program coming up, which I think we're all kind of looking to be our positive light in this what's turning out to be a dark 2021.
Yeah, that's the other thing, and I spoke about this quite a bit last year, in that I know other countries certainly have followed suit, but there's no question that South Africa were of the strictest countries when implementing the lockdown. Most other countries now are experiencing similar such restrictions. But it's amazing how resilient South Africans are. And we all know the well-known phrase, the Boer Markerplan. And I think that certainly has been the case with South Africans, because instead of wallowing in self-pity and complaining and moaning, we've knuckled down and made provisions and plans. And I've seen the exact same thing in the sporting world. You're not the first to say what you've managed to do to get over the fact that, yeah, obviously you're restricted in terms of training outside. And it has been enlightening to see how we have managed to overcome the restrictions put in place.
Yes, definitely. I think hockey as a sport in South Africa, outside of the COVID-19 pandemic, is full of uncertainties. We don't have a professional program that is fully funded. So, you know, we're used to things chopping and changing, and we're used to being thrown curveballs. So I think that has kind of helped us accept the curveball that is the COVID-19 pandemic, because it's kind of ingrained in us with regards to the hockey program. So, yeah, we've tried to look forward, we've tried to stay positive, and we've tried to kind of keep the machine that is the South African women's hockey team moving forward and keep our eyes on the goal, which is at the moment the Tokyo 2021 Olympics.
So, I mean, Erin, obviously, if we look back at your career, we're talking about Olympics, and Olympics are going to be the big feather in the cap. But you've had a pretty cool experience in terms of your career so far. I mean, we go back a few years now to Mönchengladbach, where you played in the Junior Hockey World Cup alongside the likes of Pumelela Mbanda, Nicole Alraven, Lene Milan. So you started there, an international exposure. You've been to the World League, you've been to the Africa Cup of Nations, and of course the Commonwealth Games. Building up now towards the Olympics, what stood out for you? What's been the highlight of your adventure so far?
There's a number of different things. I think you mentioning the Junior World Cup in Mönchengladbach. I was actually looking at pictures and some video clips of that last night, thanks to load shedding, going through my old archives on my laptop. And, I mean, that was a great experience. My first kind of major, international tournament as a youngster. And you mentioned a couple of names there who I'm still playing with today, which has been great to kind of come through the ranks with those certain players. And then jumping into the national team, obviously my first cap is a blur, but something that is I hold very close to my heart and that I'm still very, very proud about, you know, being able to put on the green and gold and represent my country for the first time. Tournament-wise, I would probably have to say the Commonwealth Games, even though the hockey side of it, I have a lot of disappointments and a lot of regrets about that. But, you know, just being able to experience the major games and to kind of see the professionalism that can be within sport. It's probably the most professional I've ever felt, being looked after in a village and the village life. So that for me is obviously a big highlight. But every time I take the field with the 17 other girls alongside me is just something that I hope I never take for granted, because each and every single moment are just so special.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, obviously there are certain moments that'll stand out. I mean, like you say, your debut, you know, playing in front of a bigger packed audience at the Commonwealth Games, your 50th cap down at Stellenbosch, where you played a bunch of your hockey earlier in your life. And of course, obviously that first goal that you ever scored, do you remember it?
I must be honest, when you were reading a little bit about me in the beginning, I'm quite surprised to hear that I've scored 3 goals. because I'm obviously a defender and not really one to get up in the D, which I'm trying to change. So 2021, look out. But yeah, I'm very surprised to hear that I've scored 3 goals for my country. That's really exciting for me. I think I can remember it. It must have been in Cape Town. At Hartleyvale, I think Lillian Duplessis with the flick, I'd injected from a short corner, and whether the ball was going in the box already and I got a stick to it, or whether I put it in the box, I'm not sure. But I think the bottom line is my name was on that score sheet, and that's something I think Lil was as excited as I was that I managed to actually score a goal. So, yeah, that's really, really cool to hear that I've scored 3 goals.
Well, you've got a goal against Kenya, a goal against Namibia, and, of course, that first one against Chile, which you have described perfectly. I always ask this because, you know, I've spoken to Lillian, and she's got over 100 goals in her career, and, you know, they can't even remember. Strikers can't remember the goals they scored today. I was also a defender, and in my whole life of playing hockey, I think I scored 8 goals in outdoor hockey, and I can remember every one of them. Okay, maybe not anymore, but I could back when I was playing still. So, you know, there's always something a little bit special when a defender scores a goal. I mean, I did once score a great goal, excuse my humility here, but it was on grass, and a defender, I was in the other D because it had been a short corner, and then the ball had gone out for a long corner. A guy crossed it in. It was before it had to move 5 meters, and a vendor cleared it, but he cleared it. He smashed it, and I ducked because the ball was coming straight at my face, but when I ducked, I didn't pull my stick down. My stick was up. It hit my stick, flew over the keeper and into the back of the net, and everyone was like, giving me a hug for a goal, and I didn't know what had happened because I was busy changing my underpants because I cut myself. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, goals are great, but being chosen to be your country's captain, now, that must have been something special. Do you remember how it came about and when the talk was given to you? And also, how did you feel when you were told, Aaron, you are the country? Your captain of your national team, not the country.
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far to say I'm the country. But yeah, it was really just unbelievable. It was obviously a process. I think for me, I was included in the leadership group under Sheldon Rostron for the World Cup in London. I was included as kind of a bit of a youngster being involved in that leadership group along with the captains and a couple of other senior players. So that was kind of my first bite at leadership in the national team. And at that time, I was kind of really surprised, like, why am I being included? But then settled into the role and played the role as best I could. And then I'll never forget after the World Cup when Sula was retiring and she, you know, it was her kind of last tournament, and she came up to me one of the last games, and she said to me, she actually handed me her captain's band, and she said to me, Aaron, you're the next leader of this team. And I almost just burst into tears in front of her and gave her a massive hug and said, you know, thank you. But that was a real, real honor, for me, someone of her caliber and her experience and who she is, identifying me as the next leader of the team. And then, of course, there was a big change in the team, and Rob van Ginkel came on board with his set of staff. And, I just recently moved to Joburg, and so my relationship with Rob was kind of developing. Didn't really know him much before that, but after a couple of training sessions, you know, we would have a couple of discussions about where he sees the team going, and he would always pull me aside and talk to me about it. So it was a process of kind of Rob and I figuring each other out and seeing whether we could align and be on the same page, and then he made a decision and he said to me, look, I want you to lead the team. And that for me was just unbelievable. It's obviously a great honor playing for the team, but to be able to lead the team out and onto the field is indescribable and something that I feel very privileged to be able to do, and something that I'm very honored to be able to do.
Yeah, it certainly is an honor to captain your national team, regardless of the sport. I've worn the armband on a few occasions in sports, but, I mean, they're largely meaningless roles. I can imagine that's certainly not the case with you. But, and again, I come back to COVID. I think in this time, it's even brought in a bigger role, because now you've got captain a team which is in some form of chaos, and I'm not talking just your team, but any team really. I mean, what extra pressures has it brought on, being the leader, being the person that everyone turns to in times of frustration and the unknown?
Yeah, it certainly hasn't been easy, mainly because, you know, the team is spread out all over the country, and without that physical interaction with one another, that face-to-face interaction, everything has to be done via a computer or a cell phone, and it's very difficult to a lot of the time gauge where everyone is and what everyone's feeling and whatnot. So that's been really difficult. I've kind of relied on players contacting me and if there are problems or things that we need to deal with or the processes that we need to go through. But yeah, it's definitely been very difficult during the COVID time, where we haven't had as much face-to-face contact with one another. And I mean, even for the coach and the coaching staff, you know, to try and manage a team that is spread out rather than kind of nearby and you get to have that personal interaction with one another. So it's definitely brought its challenges, and I can't promise that I've been perfect, but I've definitely tried, and hopefully we'll get to see each other soon and make sure that everything is still going the way that we want it to go.
So you alluded about the move to Johannesburg. Tell us a bit about your background before coming to the Big Smoke. I mean, that's daunting in itself. I also made the move many years back from the coast over here.
Yeah, so I grew up in Johannesburg. I went to school in Joburg, and then when I was deciding what university I was going to go and study at, I was fortunate enough to go to Marty's on one of their hockey camps, and I came back from the camp, and I said to my parents straight away, right, I've made the decision, I want to go to Stellenbosch University. And it was a big shock to them, because both my parents are Rhodians. They met at Rhodes, and my brothers both went to Rhodes, and my aunts went to Rhodes. So, you know, I was supposed to go to Rhodes, but I knew that I wanted to take hockey seriously, and I knew that Stellenbosch University was the place for me. So when I matriculated, I went to study at Marty's, and I spent 5 years there. I did my BSc and then did a postgraduate certificate in education. And once I had finished with that, I then went and spent a season in England, where I played for Holcombe Hockey Club, which was an absolutely incredible experience to be able to play competitive hockey week in and week out. It was really, really great. And then it was getting difficult for me to be over there, and I was teaching in England too. It was getting difficult to be over in England teaching and playing hockey and still being a part of the national team. So I made the decision to move back to South Africa so that I could commit fully to the South African women's program. And Joburg being a massive... Joburg being kind of the hot spot of the country, where I knew that there were a lot of national players based and around, I then made the decision to move back to Joburg and continue my hockey career from there.
And what has it been like?
Yeah, it's been really, really great. I'm actually teaching at the school I went to, so it's kind of like returning home. So it's been really, really cool. I'm playing for the Crusaders Hockey Club, which is also coached by Rob van Ginkel. So Rob and I really spend a lot of time together. But it's been really, really cool. And as I said, I think the Gauteng goals, we're really lucky to have so many of the national players based in and around Joburg, that it was definitely the right decision, because we spend a lot of time together. We do running sessions together during the week. So it was the right decision to move there and be based there, purely because without a centralized program, living in Joburg is probably as most centralized as things can become.
Yeah, Aaron, and obviously you've played some hockey in the Western Cape. You played some hockey with the Raiders, the KZN Raiders, and obviously with Southern Gauteng. I mean, if you could categorize, I mean, I know we're one hockey country, but those are the three major centers are very different culturally in terms of their hockey and how things are run. Where do you think your game is really the most suited?
Yeah, very, very, very different areas and different styles of hockey and different cultures. It's difficult to say where I think I'm the most suited. I think I've got bits of all of the provinces that I've carried along with me. I think any good hockey that I started playing started in the Western Cape, in the Western Province at Marty's, and then playing for Western Province. It's kind of where my hockey career started taking off. So, you know, it was great to be a part of their setup and their culture and learning as much as I could from those around me there. And then I had a short stint with the Raiders, which was kind of a breath of fresh air, just something completely different. I think, the Raiders girls, you know, they've got that Durban chilled out, laid back, cool vibe about them. So it was really, really cool to be a part of that. And I actually won my first provincial ladies IPT gold playing for the Raiders. So, you know, I'll obviously always be thankful for them for accepting me and helping me get my first IPT women's gold medal. And then coming back to Southerns, where I mean, a lot of people can say a lot of things about Southern South Tang hockey, but there is a winning culture that comes with Southerns, and I think we've got a culture that is a tradition and a history that comes with Southerns, and I'm not saying we get it right all the time, and not saying that Southern Gauteng shouldn't be the villain of every IPT, but I'm also privileged to play for them and to be a part of this setup and to take my hockey career further with the Southern Gauteng ladies team.
Yeah, it's a phenomenally strong team, and it's been a strong team for many years. And I started in Eastern Gauteng, and then I was never a provincial player, really. I was a provincial coach more, but also moved across to Southerns, and I understand exactly what you're talking about. We were often seen as the villain of the piece, but merely because we had the most schools, the most quality schools to pick from, and a lot of people were just frustrated about that. And, you know, it's the same. We get a lot of players and move to Joburg just because economically that's the best place for them. And so we have a great pool of players to pick from. It has been a very strong team, and again, as you say, you are a defender, yet you still are managing to stand out as an outstanding defender in a team that doesn't have the most defensive work to do during an IPT. And that's no disrespect meant to any other team. I mean, obviously, there are games that are tight. Northern Blues are fantastic games these days. The Raiders, a little bit of a dip the last 2 years, but they are great games, but, you know, Southerns can often go and play some of the smaller provinces and run over them a little bit. So, I mean, do you find that sometimes a little bit frustrating as a defender, that your teams are so strong and then you take the step up for national and it's a little bit different?
Yeah, I mean, I think not necessarily just at provincial level, but I think at any hockey level in South Africa, the step up from that level to national level, where to international level, where the defenders have to do a lot of work, it is tough. But it's the games, like as you mentioned, playing against the Northern Blues at IPT, playing against the Raiders, who may not be in the best position over the last 2 years, but we know will always bring something. And then the classic Gauteng Western Province rival, you know, those games where I know that I have to focus on being defensive and playing my role. But even in the other games, I think there's always something to learn in every game. And it's about, for me, trying to be consistent. And even though you may be playing a weaker team, to try and keep your disciplines and make sure you still are becoming a better player. And it's obviously not always easy. I mean, a lot of the times, my team members have to remind me that I'm a defender and I need to also do defensive work. I can't just go on the attack all the time. But, yeah, I think in those games, there is still something to learn and there is still disciplines that you need to play and make sure that you're not getting into bad habits. So, Even though a lot of the time, or not a lot of the time, but even though we play weaker teams at an IPT or during the league, I try and make sure that I'm still learning and growing as a player. So there's still something to get out of each and every game.
Erin, you mentioned something great earlier, and I know all sports are different, but I mean, just looking at like the rugby and cricketing side of things, if you're appointed coach of the national team, then you say goodbye to your domestic outfits, and you don't really spend much time with players when they're outside of the national training camps or actual matches. Of course, that's not the case with hockey, and I think that must be a massive benefit for you. You mentioned you and Robin are both at Crusaders. That certainly can't harm your relationship, if anything. I mean, it will just make things go from strength to strength.
Yes, definitely. But in saying that, there's also the added pressure of the coaches watching you all the time. There's no kind of getting away from it. I mean, every training session, every club game, you know, my national coach is watching me and making sure that I'm not messing around and just having fun all the time. But so there is that added pressure, but I think it's great. It definitely helps our relationship, and because at a club level, you know, we can be friends, we can have fun, we can have the laugh, we can have the banter. Not that disappears completely when it comes to the South African ladies team, but obviously there's a lot more seriousness that comes with that. We still have our laughs and our banter, but we also know that we've got a great role to play. So we get to have the fun and the mess around a little bit at a club level, which obviously helps our relationship when we get to the national team. Where we can bring that positive, fun relationship and then start taking it a little bit more seriously.
And I can imagine during these times of little to no participation, the communication between the two of you has been prominent, given the fact that you obviously don't see each other that much, or you can't really see each other that much.
Yes, definitely. Not just with Rob, but I think with a lot of the management and a lot of the players, in order to keep things moving forward, there has to be a continuous stream of communication. I don't know if you could hear it on the audio, but I got a phone call about 10 minutes ago.
That was
Rob phoning me. So I'll have to phone him back after this. There's a constant flow of communication, making sure that we're all staying on the same page and we all.
Oh, Erin, have we lost you?
No, I'm still here.
There we go. Yeah, perfect. Erin, do me a favor, please. Don't you want to phone Rob back while we're doing the show and put him on speaker?
Okay, let me see if I can try and do that.
Thanks. He's been a guest on the show as well, obviously. Love to hear what he has to say. Look, if this is pre-recorded, so if it's anything that's got to be under the radar, then we'll just cancel it out.
Okay, let me phone him back and see.
Cool.
What he has to say.
Thank you. This is going to be great. So for those that, here we go. Come on, Rob.
Hopefully we're not playing the missed call game.
Hopefully he phones back now. I'm sure he will phone back. If he does, make sure to answer that call.
Okay.
And I mean, we spoke about your move to Johannesburg, your move back to Johannesburg, but there's also another significant move that you made last year. Brabo.
Yes, yeah. So that was really exciting for me to be part of the Brabo team and getting Brabo kind of up and running in South Africa. So I'm loving. Oh, here's Rob.
Here we go.
My answer.
Yeah, go for it.
How's it, Rob? Fine, thanks. You are on speaker, and I'm busy with Tyron and Derek, and they asked me to answer your phone call while chatting to them.
Cool. That's not ideal. Are they still online?
Yeah, they can hear you.
Hi, you're Rob.
Hey, guys.
Chat away.
Don't reveal too much squad selection discussion.
Okay, I won't, guys. All the best for 2021, and Aaron, make us sound really good and prepared, okay?
I'll try my best, Rob.
Okay, cool. But give me a call later. I actually just wanted to meet up for a coffee to chat around planning and stuff going forward.
Okay. I'm flying back to Joburg this afternoon, so tomorrow, any time from then, I'm available, especially with schools being moved out.
Well, exactly. I'm in the same boat, so maybe Monday next week we'll chat and I'll, Okay, cool.
Thanks, Rob.
Cheers, bye.
Just exactly like you said, the constant communication, and you're going to be meeting up for a coffee next week.
Yeah, it looks like I've got a coffee meeting with Rob on Monday.
So we just know that for all those kids who want to try and use your spare time to come and find Aaron and Rob to get autographs, they will definitely meet at a Seattle coffee company. Based on Instagram, but you'll have to guess which one it is.
Yeah, we can play Hunt, Aaron, and Rob on Monday.
Aaron, sorry, you were before Rob decided to join the call. I guess that makes it his second appearance on the podcast. But you were telling us about your move across to Bravo.
Yeah, so it's been really, really cool to be a part of Bravo and get them up and running in South Africa. I'm loving their equipment and the apparel that I've been given. So, yeah, really, really exciting to be a part of the Bravo team, and hopefully we can continue to grow in 2021.
Yeah, I almost had one of those you're on mute moments there. Yeah, it's a very exciting brand, obviously. We both know the team behind the team, and they're very committed to their stars, and it's obviously fantastic to see. It's a brand that's very, very big in Argentina, just starting to make waves here in South Africa, so they couldn't have asked for a better ambassador for the product.
Yeah, so as I said, I'm really privileged to be a part of the team, and they're very professional in their approach, and you know, I'm constantly getting contacted, asking if everything's okay, and really getting the special treatment from them. So it's been really, really great to be a part of the Bravo team.
And let's just ask the important question is, which Bravo stick are you currently using, in case there are kids out there that are very intrigued and interested?
It's the Bravo Elite. The orange stick. Is that a good enough explanation?
Putting you on the spot as we do here at Hockey the Podcast.
It's the Bravo Elite X3, I think it's called. It's the orange one, and it's the really nice one.
Yeah, so to the team at Bravo, yes, we'll put a picture up with the podcast so everyone can see it. No problem. But, Aaron, I mean, obviously the other thing that I wanted to ask you about, it's interesting because, as you said, you've played in strong teams, you've played in teams that have been quite dominant, but it was very interesting for me. You know, the PHL has a lot of criticism around it in terms of the fact that the quality is not as high because you're putting people together very last minutes and you're asking them without any practices to play. Culturally, they're different. Coaches don't really know the players necessarily. But in your time with the St. Lucia Lakers, you are definitely one of the people who utilized the PHL to enhance your reputation with solid, solid displays. Yourself and Cara Boetis, who we mentioned earlier, forming that defensive partnership that became incredibly difficult to break down. What was your PHL experience like over the years?
Yeah, PHL has always been quite an exciting, and I like to think of it as the fun tournament. because, you know, I suppose with an IPT, you know, you've got that pressure of you representing your province, you know, you need to go out there and do the best. And, you know, there's a whole lot of history behind it and a whole lot of rivalry and all of that. So, that's IPT. But then PHL, as you said, is just kind of a bunch of players joined together from all over. And, I suppose if it continues, the rivalry and all of that will grow. But yeah, it was really, really fun to be a part of the PHL and to play for the St. Lucia Lakers. I'm still hunting for my PHL gold. But yeah, really, really cool. It came with its own challenges. As you mentioned, different styles of play, with the different players, coaches who do not necessarily know all the players personally. So it had its own challenges, but as I mentioned previously, I think with every game and with every opportunity, there's something to learn and something to help you grow. So I tried to grab onto that. And then, as you said, you know, with Cara Buertas being in the team, we've played hockey together in lots of different teams. So that obviously also made it fun. And we kind of pushed each other and challenged each other through that as well. So it was a really, really fun experience. And I hope that it continues, and I hope that I'll eventually get that gold medal for the St. Lucia Lakers.
All right, and before I give you over to Derek for the famous one question quiz, the first one of 2021, I want to ask you now, we are in a game, the three of us are part of the squad, we can just pretend Derek and I are playing for the women's side, and it's halftime, no, it's the end of the third chukka, we 1-0 down, but we're in this game, it's a tight game. And you get told by Rob, you've got 40 seconds. Talk to the team. Tell us what you're telling us in that huddle.
Okay. Are you starting the timer?
Yeah, let me go. There we go.
Okay. Guys, we 1-0 down, but we are putting them under a lot of pressure. I think that this game is ours. All we have to do is just put that extra 10% in. We know what we have to do. We have to trust the process and make sure that we are still sticking to the game plan. But in that, we've got 15 minutes to give out everything out there. So it's about that extra yard. It's about that extra sprint. It's about every little bit that we do now that is going to make the difference in this last chukka. So I'm ready to give my all in this last chukka. I'm ready to walk off the pitch and make sure that I know that I've given my everything. And as each one of us does that, I'm telling you, at the end of the game, this game will be ours.
Lovely.
That was superb. Derek, I'm actually, you can do the one question. I'm going for a 5K run.
How many seconds was that time?
That was 37 seconds.
So the extra three you could have added, just keep the ball away from Derek. If we are to have any hope of winning this. No, that was superb, Aaron. Really, really well done. Yeah, you'd certainly motivate me to want to win, and I know well, I can't play the sport at all. But yeah, really, really good choice in terms of words, and a phenomenal choice in terms of the powers that be in making you the captain of South Africa. So, Aaron, without further ado, let's head over to the one question quiz. Live in the moment till I die. Okay, so Aaron, everyone knows Aaron Hunter as being a phenomenal hockey player on the planet and the captain of South Africa's outdoor team. But, it's a very loaded question this, but can you tell me who or what Aaron Hunter is in the literary world?
She's the author of the books about cats.
Well, that was very, very easy. But do you know that it's not an actual she?
No, I didn't know that.
It's actually not even a person. It's a pseudonym.
Is it a cat?
No, it's a pseudonym. A whole lot of authors decided to get together and create a series of books. And I'll tell you what, it's a hell of a lot of books.
Wow.
There are so, so many. And the authors were Victoria Holmes, Kate Carey, Cherith Baldry, In Bali a series, Tui T. Sutherland, Casey Wildam, and Rosie Best. So talking about a whole lot of authors, and collectively they decided, what name can we come up with to best describe a brilliant author? And they thought, well, let's create the name Aaron Hunter. And that's what they did. So it's a pseudonym that creates all these books. They're fantasy novel series, and there's so, so many. They're very well known, but of course they're not as well known as our very own Aaron Hunter. But more importantly, you smashed this one out of the park. I suppose it kind of is easy, given the fact that there's two very famous names. But I love the fact that a whole lot of authors got together and they came up with your very name.
Yeah, that's interesting for me. As I said, I just know it from people saying to me, I typed your name in Google, and what came up was a whole lot of books about cats, this woman who writes about cats. So that's kind of where I knew it from, is people trying to type my name in Google and find me. And then they said they added the word hockey. And there I popped up. So yeah, definitely not an author, but I'm glad I'm known as the hockey player and not the author.
Well, on their Wikipedia page for the book series, it says Erin Hunter, and then right below it says for the South African field hockey player, see Erin Hunter field hockey. So
wow,
so you are directed
cool.
there from this book series. But what we do definitely want from you in the future, and I'm talking within the next month or two, is a photo of you holding up one of these books. I think it's only fair.
Challenge accepted.
Brilliant. I'm excited. And there's so many. I actually can't believe. I'm not going to give you the specific books that we want because there's so many and I don't know how hard they are to find. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think that's a great idea. Hey, Ty?
I love it. I think that will become our new Facebook cover.
Yes. Oh, man. Erin, it's been so great chatting to you. And you told Rob that you're flying this afternoon.
Yes, yeah, back. I'm visiting my parents. I'm in PE for a little bit. Just visiting my parents. My brother was down from Switzerland, so got to spend a little bit of time with him, and back up to Joburg this afternoon.
So do they live in PE? I grew up there.
Yes, yeah, my parents, when I went to university, they decided to slow down their life a little bit and get out of the hustle and bustle of Joburg, and they moved down here to PE.
Yeah, they chose the right place if they wanted to slow down their lives. No offense to our PE listeners, but they will understand.
Yeah, Derek, thanks for that. We are down the whole Eastern Cape. Thank you. No more listeners from there, thanks to the man from the Eastern Cape. But thanks to Erin, we'll win them back. So, Erin, thanks very much for the time. I wanted to get you on for a while, but obviously being a school teacher and we try and record these during the mornings, we managed to find a good use of COVID lockdown times.
Yeah, so thanks so much for having me. It's been really, really cool to chat to you guys. And keep supporting us on our journey, and hopefully it will be an exciting one.
Epic. We look forward to seeing what you do with the National Women's Team this year. And hopefully all things get cleared and the team can go to Tokyo and compete with or without fans.
Yeah, keep the dream alive.
Thanks, Erin. Travel safe
so
and we'll
much.
See you soon. We can't wait to see that photo.
I'm going to start hunting today.
Cheers.
Bye.
She's going to hunt.
Yeah, Erin Hunter.
I love it. I love it. I mean, Derek, that reminds me of a joke I told you the other day.
Yeah?
Did you hear that they've closed the borders in Finland? So no one's crossing the finish line.
That's a really good one. I'm going to use that one for those fine
meetings. Yeah, Erin, escape while you can. he
okay,
doesn't
cheers,
stop.
Guys.
Cheers.
Thanks
cheers.
So much.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, that was superb. What an absolute legend. I know every single time we end up speaking to our guests, we end it with those words. But again, it is true, and well done, Ty. I know you said that you've been trying to get Erin on the podcast for a long time, and so glad that we did manage to finally get her on, and it was worth the wait.
No, absolutely. I think you couldn't have had a, I mean, 2021 has not had the best start, but we could not have had a better start to Hockey the Podcast. And you know what, Derek? You know what they say the best thing about cliffhangers is?
What? Oh, and there he goes. He couldn't end without another dad joke. He's becoming famous for them. That's why we love him. Thanks very much, Tyron Barnard. Thank you very much, Erin Hunter. And from me, Derek Alberts, welcome once again to Hockey the Podcast. It's good to be back. See you soon for the next episode of 2021. Cheers.